Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, if you head into the game tonight, let me tell you that the Yankees now tell you that they'll open all gates on time, which means 6-8 in the suite will open at 5, and the rest of the stadium will open at 5:30, and hopefully it'll hold off, and we will play Subway Series, which I always enjoy. I always have, always will. I think it's a good – I think anytime you look around a stadium and it's full, I think that's a good thing, and I think this is what it does. It fills the building, creates some attention, so it's kind of a nice diversion for a couple of days during the season. All right, the Yankee general manager, Brian Cashman, joins us now. Cash, welcome. How are you?
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Good, thank you. It's been obviously a busy time. First, going through that run, you know, to have as many injuries and have to plug in so many people and then watch the team play, you know, 750 over 40 games, remarkable run for your team.
Yeah, it was really fun times, you know, watching whether it was Mike Ford come up and make his debut or, you know, obviously we got Talkman from at the very end of spring training and he came up and obviously had some big hits every now and then. And just one, you know, obviously Gio Urshela just developed into something before our eyes. Luke Voit continuing to do what he's done. You know, and some of the new guys coming in like DJ LeMahieu establishing themselves. But and then even like yesterday, Tarpley coming up, you know, walks in the clubhouse and gets a save, obviously what's needed. So I just saw Nestor Cortez walking out the door with his stuff, and I thanked him again for all the impact. You know, he's thrown some quality innings to hold serve for us, and Chance Adams as well. And so we're getting it from everybody and anybody, and, you know, Herman, although he's on the DL, it's been nice, and I'm definitely leaving out names, trying to hit on all of them, but there's been so many people that
really have
stepped up for us that, you know, it's allowed us to be in a position where, that we currently are in, but certainly still wait for a number of the A guys to come back.
I mean, let me stop at LeMahieu for a second. I mean, I didn't watch LeMahieu a lot. You know, obviously his numbers were good, but I didn't realize he was this good a player. He is really day in and day out a terrific player.
Yeah, he seems, you know, he's so mild-mannered and even-keeled, and, you know, he's you know, so shy and quiet. So for the fans who don't get a chance to meet these players up front, you know, I think they get a chance to see Luke Voit's personality much easier, you know, play out on the field. But DJ, it's a challenge to try to get more than two words out of him. He's very quiet. He's very shy. He's just a, you know, a consummate pro. And, you know, and so far, obviously, everything our pro scouts and then our analytics team had talked about, you know, was really lined up. And I got to tip my cap to the analytics team, but then the pro scout team, because we had to rely on them when we acquired them for the versatility. We did announce it as a everyday versatility guy, even though he was coming out of a situation with the major leagues and the Rockies of being an everyday second baseman, an all-star gold glove second baseman. But they felt agility-wise he could play third, he could play first easily, and even though he hadn't really shown it, but they, you know, the people who know him best and had watched him for years said athletically it's not going to be an issue anyway. And they went all the way back through LSU. Jim Hendry knew him back from when he was at LSU and just said, hey, this guy, it's not going to be an issue. And so we made that bet, and it's paying off for us, thankfully.
You know, it's funny. Rhodes came in, and he was promoting a book into the studio last week, and he said to me something about – I said, do you watch the Yankees? He goes, how about LeMahieu? That's the first thing he said to me. He said, isn't that LeMahieu good? I mean, so I said, wow. He says, yeah, doesn't he jump out? I said, he does. You know, he goes right field. And, you know, the other night against Sale, hitting a double and a homer to right field. I mean, he really has been – the thing about him more than anything else, Cash, is the consistency. I mean, I don't think he's had two bad games of the whole season.
Yeah, and on top of that, you know, he didn't have a good spring. So his introduction to the Yankees was not a very, you know, he didn't come in, you know, knocking the cover off the ball in the spring training. So, you know, I can't remember how he walked out of camp in terms of numbers, even though as a veteran that's not necessarily important. But obviously coming to a new franchise, I think, you know, he just didn't swing the bat well offensively down in March. And but it's, you know, listen, he's a big reason why we're where we're at. And we have a really healthy clubhouse feel. The chemistry's strong. And obviously, adding people like that into the mix, it just makes it that much easier for our guys to gel.
All right, how about a couple of things that have come up of late? Betances, is this now a season-threatening situation for him now?
I don't know what we're dealing with yet, because he had a complaint, which was acting like the area of the lat necessarily, and we did an MRI on it and didn't see anything. There was nothing there, so we flew him up here because the next day still, it wasn't. He still felt something there, so we're gonna have Dr. Ahmad look at him today at the ballpark. So our initial reaction was okay. He's towards the end of his flat ground throwing program, and he felt something. So we're gonna take extra precaution, make sure we get a picture of it, look at everything, and it came back the very few times these things happen, which was negative. So anyway, we're gonna get Dr. Chris Ahmad, New York Presbyterian, to do a rundown on it, and so. Fingers crossed, we're holding our breath to make sure it's nothing else or nothing serious. But I don't have any answers to that just yet.
Update on – well, first of all, about Ahmad, how serious is the Ahmad injury?
Ahmad, we'll see him also. Dr. Chris Ahmad will see him tonight at the ballpark. We did an MRI today, which actually, that came back, not showing anything. We put him down with a hip flexor. He was point tender. He'd been complaining, as he said publicly. He hadn't told us anything, and then he said he'd been feeling it for the last three starts. So the MRI looks good. It doesn't look like there's really anything of concern there, but Ahmad will evaluate him too when he sees him at the ballpark here. But he went for an MRI today, and that came back negative, which is obviously very important, and allows us to catch a breath. But until I get a full physical evaluation by Chris, where he gets his hands on him and walks through it and talks through it and actually personally reads the MRI. A lot of these MRIs get initially read by a radiologist, and you get the radiological report, and you go from there, and then Chris will back it up or not. So we're still concluding that evaluation, but so far the early returns are, I think we're going to be okay. When he went down, I was telling our owner earlier today, as we're holding our breath waiting for the results to come back, like, hey, I don't know if this is a couple weeks, a month, or whatever, but regardless, he was going to need a timeout at some point, because of his innings limit.
Right.
So, I said, there's a little bit of a silver lining when you're not wanting to look for one. But we'll see.
That was my next question. You were going to back him off anyway, right, at some point this year, right?
We're going to have to. But again, you'd like to be in a position to choose
dictate,
to do
right,
it. Yeah,
right.
Dictate it is the best word. And I wasn't, but anyway, this is coming now. So how long, I think, is still to be determined. But I know he's feeling better. He's walking without a limp or any of that nature. So we'll see. My fingers crossed. Hopefully the news will come back good on him when we get a complete report from Chris when he sees him. But knock on wood, we'll see where we're going to be with that.
How about Severino?
Sevy, again, I'm still looking at, I think after the All-Star break, he went out. I was downstairs earlier today. He was going out to throw at 90 feet with Mike Harkey on flat ground. So he's progressing. He's feeling really good. I think he feels he's being held back. All those things are good, but we just got to stay disciplined and go with the program. So after the All-Star break at some point, I think we can plug him back in.
Anything new? I mean, there were reports about Judge being maybe targeting London. Is that accurate? Is there anything new on Judge?
Yeah, I think he's progressing to the point where you're going to start seeing him do full BP rounds on the field. I think we've gotten to that level now. He's down in Tampa. When I was down there for the draft, I went for about a week, for pre-draft work and then the draft itself. And so he started doing his cage work and then transferring onto the field for BP work. So he's doing that and all his agilities and his throwing and stuff like that. So I think we could be targeting rehab games as early as, maybe – not this weekend, but maybe next weekend at the earliest, if everything goes perfect. Doesn't mean it's going to be. So we're not definitely trying to line anything up so we can have him for London, but it's certainly possible that we could have him sometime before London. But again, it's a moving target because he's not in those rehab games just yet. So he's got to finish off for another, I'd say another 7 to 9 days of field work, and then we can probably schedule a rehab assignment if that all goes well.
And how about Stanton?
Stanton's going to go DH in a rehab game as early as tomorrow, 9 innings.
Okay.
So he'll, the plan would be weather permitting, because we know there's weather all over this place, not just in New York. But he'll plan right now, have him DH for the Tampa Tarpons tomorrow for 9 innings, then right field for 7 on Wednesday, and then probably a travel day, and weather permitting, getting up into Scranton for the weekend series for Scranton. But again, we'll just have to watch the weather, see how he's feeling, and react and adjust if necessary. So he could be back as early as the Tampa series or the Houston series, but we'll see.
All right, and Tulowitzki, did he suffer a setback? Is that what I gathered here?
Well, obviously he had that setback with the calf.
Right. Did he go home for a couple of days or something?
Yeah. He's currently home. It's a challenge, more so than anybody, would have realized. He's as committed to this game as I've seen of anybody. He loves this game as much as anybody.
It was a long shot. There's no question. He had a lot of baggage with those injuries.
I'm not saying he's not past them or not yet, but it's been more of a challenge than even he or we would have expected, and it's been frustrating because it's a sport he loves, something he's determined to be great at all times and wants to be a part of a winner. That's why he chose us. And I think he's extremely frustrated with, the body not cooperating. He's had obviously surgeries on both ankles and I guess it's a cascading event that can be crippling at times in terms of preventative of getting to where he wants to be on a consistent basis without a reoccurrence and stuff. So, he's back home for right now and we'll continue to evaluate what the next best steps are.
Has your evaluation of this team, we're talking with Brian Cashman, of course, Yankees and Mets tonight, it sounds like they're going to give it a go. They'll open the gates. If you're heading to the game, get there, because they're opening the gates at regular time at Yankee Stadium for tonight's first of two. For two games next two down, it's not tonight. Now, have all these injuries, have the changes in the staff, the guys you've had to rely on, has it changed your opinion of this team looking long-term, looking the rest of the season, looking postseason? Has it changed your view of this team in any way?
No, I mean, I think I always felt we had a good team. I was worried the injuries would take us down a notch or two or three or what have you. Instead, we've been able to thrive despite the injuries. So the excitement is that with these guys coming back, we're going to reinforce and get turbo boosters, we hope, going forward. And then it's our job here in the front office to reinforce it and add to it and improve upon it. And so now we're past the draft, and it's time. It's that time of season where, you're making your phone calls, you're engaging your, opposition, both leagues, and seeing, what their needs are and their interests are and trying to see if you can match up. It's not easy, but it's something that...
Will there be a lot of starting pitchers on the market?
It's to be determined. I've seen people speculate that it's going to be a buyer's market because there's a number of teams that aren't as good, but you can't count on that stuff. I just know whatever you do, it usually hurts to do it, and so you try to navigate it the best you can, but the most important thing to do is make sure you bring something in that's going to have an impact on us and in a real positive way. We were able to do that last summer, and we need to do that again this summer, obviously the teams that we got to go through to get to where we want to go, we've been knocked out by the eventual world champs the last 2 years and two different teams, Houston and Boston. So we got to find a way to be that team to do the final knockout blow. And clearly the reinforcements that you bring in are going to make a big difference in that endeavor. So, I guess stay tuned, but I've started the conversations to find out what really might be available over time, if it's available now or may shake out, or, some teams are like, I'm not sure if we're buying or selling. It depends how we look in the next, coming weeks and the next month, but some are undeclared. Some already know their destiny, but I'm trying to get all that recon as much as I can.
How about the Frazier situation? How do you feel about it as far as how he's dealt with the media and handled things? Forget off the field, not on the field, but off the field.
It's obviously a young player that's growing. Clearly, he didn't want to see him fight back or fight through the media the way he responded after that Boston game. Obviously, so that was a. That wasn't, we all have our bad moments. I've had them too. Where all of a sudden you wish you could take back, I remember I dropped an F-bomb on and wound up on the back page during the A-Rod extravaganza. So, I think I've handled myself for the most part in the press very well, but I have had my bad days as well. So you recognize that. It's not an easy situation. Didn't like how he responded to the follow-up questions when he had a chance to do a do-over. I didn't think he did what he should have. But again, it's all part of a growing process and learning process. In the end of the day, it's his career, and he's producing. He's really swinging the bat well.
He swings the bat well, very well.
He's an extremely talented kid. And so, again, it's one of those situations. We've been around this sport a long time now, and we've seen some people, they go you know, create a problem and to start a little bit of a scuffle or a public relations issue, and then they can't back it up. And so, you know, it's interesting to see, despite the turbulence, I think, with how he's handled, you know, stepping up and meeting the press, which isn't an obligation. It's, you know, it's something it's not required to do, but it's certainly the right thing to do. It's a smart thing to do. It means you get, you understand the entire sport and the needs of the fans through the press. It's that the media is your vehicle to communicate that way. And you got to be there for both good times and the bad. So for instance, the other day in Cleveland, I know Didi was at his locker Sunday after he kicked the ball that cost us to go in the extra innings. We won the game, but Didi was there to answer the questions. He didn't shy away from it and stuff like that. And so again, but that's a veteran. He's been around a long time. And I think that things like that, you know, Clint's noticing, seeing, hopefully learning and growing from. But regardless of all that, if you decide to go the other way and fight back and push through and create turbulence, you know, the end of the day, your performance is going to speak for itself. And the one thing that's been really exciting is how he has played since that. You know, he's really swung the bat well. He went into Cleveland and did really well.
He's a confident hitter anyway. You know that? He just is. Yeah, he believes he can hit, and he can.
And he has, and he backed it up since he backed it up since that time. And so that's an encouraging sign, again, for someone who's showing some mental fortitude and toughness, even though at times maybe not the right decision-making. But again, we're all human. We all go left sometimes when we should have went right. And the biggest thing is the growth after the fact that comes with that. And you just hope there's growth there. And he's young, so we just have to play it out.
How about, you know, the other thing that I think you flashed, you probably didn't expect to give Estrada a lot of time here, but I'm sure this team's going to be calling and they're going to want a lot of people are going to be interested in Estrada because he's a good-looking player.
You know what? We had a lot of interest in Estrada 2 years ago. And then he got shot, you know, obviously in the winter situation. And for the most part, last year was a kind of a lost year for him. So I think he fell off the grid. And we were kind of curious what we were going to see when he got back. And he's the player. This guy has a chance to be an everyday shortstop.
He's a good player. Good-looking player.
He's tough. The makeup is great in the clubhouse. The veterans really like him. So we're getting a lot of good feedback, not just watching how he performs on the field, but you hear stuff from the players that you respect about him as a player and a person too. So it's good things. And that's another, you know, quality sign from Donnie Rowland in the international department, and then a great job by development finishing him off. And he's just a tough, productive kid. So we're lucky to have him.
You know, is this division, I mean, I don't know what you expected when the season started. Now, you didn't expect probably Minnesota to have this type of year. They've jumped out. But in the division where the Red Sox are, where Tampa is right now, is this what you expected this year? I mean, did you expect, now maybe you expected the Red Sox to be a little closer, but for the most part, did you expect Tampa to be as tough as they are?
Yeah, unfortunately, we saw Tampa coming. You know, I've been joking with their GM, but not really joking, which is, you guys, you know, we like the same players. So, you know, we're always, Eric Neander and I are always going back and forth with each other via text. So, you know, when we signed DJ LeMahieu, he would fire off a text my way going, damn it, you know, it's a great addition. And, you know, when they wound up getting somebody that they made that trade with Chris Archer going to Pittsburgh and got all that talent back, those are players that we had been on many years. So we generally gravitate, even though we have different payrolls, we definitely have the same compass on evaluation of players. And so we saw their talent coming. This is not a surprise. Unfortunately, they're here to stay, and they're going to be an American League contender. Boston, obviously, everybody knows, you know, what they're capable of. They're the defending world champion. So, you know, they're the real deal. And so all three reside right here, us and Houston. Then outside of us is Houston, and outside the division with Cleveland and Minnesota. And yeah, Minnesota's really, they're really crushing it.
Hit a lot of home runs, boy.
Yeah, we got them at Yankee Stadium and we won 2 out of 3, but they have had a heck of a run here so far this season and gave themselves a lot of distance. And so obviously I heard that they're all in on the Kimbrel attempts to sign, just like Tampa Bay was, and that's what the media reports are. So they're not going to be, you know, I guess stoic. They're going to be out there very aggressive, trying to improve and fortify and take a shot at the title too. So there's a lot of great teams here in our league, let alone our division.
So you expect them to be actually contenders for maybe the same people as far as coming down the stretch. I mean, Tampa is going to be limited with what they could add, but you think Minnesota will be looking to add people?
I think that, yeah. I don't know what, if Tampa's limited or not. I mean, they, their payroll, they got a lot of flexibility. They got very smart ownership. They got, you know, a very dynamic front office that are extremely intelligent. Minnesota, too. Those guys, I tell you what, it's that's why it's so important to just constantly reinforce. So speaking of reinforcing, so we can break it right here, our number one pick, Mr. Volpe, Anthony Volpe, out of Delbarton High School here in New Jersey, signing today. So,
oh, good.
So you'll be the first one to hear that on our flagship radio station. So we'll get him wrapped up and signed. He just did his physical earlier today, and we'll have the family here at Yankee Stadium tonight. And he'll start his professional journey that'll hopefully lead her to the Bronx one day. We were very excited about him.
Oh, good for him. So he signed today, so you got the guy in fold, so very, very good. And it never ends, huh? You got to always be adding players, so that's the way it always is. But the question is, what about adding an impact guy this year? So that's the idea. I mean, that's going to be the quest, huh, to go add someone who can make a difference.
Yeah, I definitely it's always our intent and interest, and clearly trying to find the match without – you know, you have to rob Peter to pay Paul. It just depends. So, you know, depending on what, you know, the prices are, you know, we'll be very aggressive. We always are, but we want to be very smart and aggressive at the same time. And I know that people can pick apart their opinion on smart versus, you know, all in. We are all in all the time, but we're all in the present and the future and trying to balance that act. And so, you know, we've withstood, you know, demands on the past, whether it was a Gleyber Torres demand or stuff like that, you know, and that's paying dividends, or Gary Sanchez, for instance, or an Aaron Judge, for instance. So those are the things that I think, you know, from the fans' perspective, there's some frustrations that come up every now and then when players, you know, might go elsewhere. But then when you look back in hindsight about what the demands are, when that happens, either passing the player for the right reason, whether it was for financial, or you pass on the player because the astronomical prospect demands that turned out to be players that are one of the reasons why you're going to have success in the present and the future, or, you know, you missed the opportunity because somebody else stepped up and did more than you were willing to do, and so you know, that's the job as the general manager. You have to make some recommendations to ownership, and you know, we're set for that. We're excited by it, and we're looking to reinforce this club and just as importantly as getting the healthy guys back off the DL to fortify us as well.
Did you get beat on Keuchel, or were you not interested?
No, we were interested. We made an offer that we were comfortable with, and that was it. And Atlanta, you know, made a higher one. It wasn't like a back and forth. And, you know, we had two offers that we ultimately made, and then we stopped and waited to hear if there was a yes or a no. But we were very transparent about, you know, where we're at. There is a financial limitation until we go into the next luxury tax level. And, you know, that was obviously conveyed. And, you know, that pushes next year's number one pick back. So there's a number of different penalties associated with that. So we're trying to stay under the second luxury tax penalty that crushes next year's pick. And so all that stuff was communicated, and so our highest offer was at the rate of the qualifying offer, and Atlanta apparently went higher. So, and you know, when you're dealing with this free agent stuff, you don't know what the other opposing teams are doing. You don't know what their offers are, so you find out after the fact. And when you lose out, you hope it's, you know, you were blown out of the water. You don't want it to be by the hair of your chinny chin chin. And in the case of Keuchel, you know, it wasn't blown out of the water, but it's not. Again, it wasn't a circle back where somebody, you know, the representation on the other side were like, hey, you're off by a share, you know, here's where we're at. We're making a decision by five. It wasn't anything like that. It was just, here's our best. This is what we're willing to do, and uncertain about what everybody else is doing. And then that's how it played. That's how the game played out. And so Atlanta's got him. I'm glad he's in the National League, and more of a Mets problem than a Yankee problem, I guess. But I'd rather obviously reinforce our pitching than have to continue to look for additions. So, you know, it's part of the process. It's frustrating when you lose out on something, but you stay sharp for the next one.
All right, listen, Cash, thanks for a couple of minutes today. I appreciate it very much, and we'll see you soon. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, Brian Cashman. So you learn there. The Yankees signed their pick, which you knew they would. Oh, you thought they would anyway. They did make an offer for Keuchel, but they were outbid. So they did make an offer. They will look for that impact pitcher. We'll see what the market bears. He thinks there will be other players, including Minnesota. And, of course, the words for Tampa. And, I mean, and the Tampa front office. And remember, one of the real bright lights in that Tampa front office is a guy who, you know, obviously was very involved with the Mets. So you hear that all the time about how smart Tampa is. They are in every way. And how about the Yankees talking about how they and Tampa are on the same player time and time again? Interesting. Back after this.